We're going to hear the last part of this next one in line here. And this is the L in Tulip Limited Atonement. Boy, what a horrible doctrine this is. That God loves me because I'm elect and hates everyone else. This is what we're looking at. If you'd like a copy of this, you can write to me, Paul, at WGODradio.com. Download the app, WGOD Radio. I'll make sure it's up there. You can download it, send it to a friend if you'd like, maybe a Calvinist friend of yours who believes and takes to the utter extreme Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated, and applies that to the 7 billion people out here that don't believe in God. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We also read that Jesus Christ was a ransom for all. Now, not all are going to receive that, but he was a ransom. The Bible says he's a ransom for all. So that's where we're at here in this message. Enjoy part two of this. I invite you to Island Community Church this weekend. If you like programs like what you're hearing here on the radio today, I invite you to come by Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. Love to see you. My sermon this week is out of James chapter 4, verse 4, where it's a famous scripture, actually, where James is going to say that those that are friends of this world are the enemy of God. That's where we're going to look at here. How do you know? Which one are you? Are you a friend of the world or are you a friend of God? If you're a friend of the world, how can I change that? That's what we're looking at this Sunday morning. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday morning, 10:30. Why don't you come by this week, worship with us? I'd love to meet you. Okay, here's the second part of this message now, Limited Atonement.
Your love for Jesus and your hatred of your brother, sister, mother, cousin, aunt, children. What's he saying? First, notice how he's comparing. It's always comparative when he gives examples like this. Secondly, what the Lord is saying is compare to your love for him. Everything else ought to seem small by comparison, is what he's saying. And this is what the Apostle Paul warns about here in Romans chapter 11. If you want to turn with me, Romans chapter 11, pick it up in verse 17. No, we'll pick it up in verse 11. We got plenty of time. Forgot to put your mask in the laundry last night, so why go home? Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? By no means. All right. This text here is talking about Gentiles who were saved and Jews who were not. And what I'm driving at here this morning is the dangers of possessing this attitude that you are elect and your Uncle Harry is not. Okay? This is the point I'm trying to make. This is the point Paul is about to make. Because there's a danger associated with this attitude. You can become arrogant or smug. Just like many people who profess to speak in tongues and how they think about you. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? By no means. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. I'm in Romans 11:11. But if their transgression is riches for the world and their defeat riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their pleroma be? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am indeed an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If somehow I may provoke to jealousy my fellow Jews and thus save some of them. For if their casting away means reconciliation for the world, what would their acceptance be if not life from the dead? If the first fruit is holy, so also the lump. If the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them and became a partaker of the root and of the fatness of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember, it is not you who supports the root supports you. You will say to me then, well, branches were broken off, so I could be grafted in. That is true, verse 20. By unbelief they were broken off, but you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, then perhaps he might not spare you either. See, this is similar, church. I believe that God hates this limited atonement doctrine. How is that yours or mine to proclaim with an air of certainty that God loves me because I'm saved, but perhaps he might hate you? And then quote, Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated. Does everyone follow me? You can't quote that to somebody. Total depravity, I get it. That's biblical. Unconditional election, I get it. God didn't choose me based on my works. Limited atonement, God loves me, but he hates you. Just like Esau. Now, what in the world is this evil theory doing in this fine doctrine of how God saves someone? Let's look at the key verse to understanding unlimited atonement. And let's debunk this terrible myth of limited atonement. Let's start 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. You can turn there if you want. Yeah, why don't we turn there? 1 Timothy 2, 5. It's important to know this. It's important to cling and stick to the word of God only. Remember that, Bill. Sola scriptura. When people that I've heard of, people I know, R.C. Sproul has said it. I'll single him out. He said, I would be aghast to ever tell a stranger that God loves him. In his own mind and conscience, he would not and could not have it in him to tell a stranger that God loves them. But the word of God says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You got to stand on the authority of the word of God always. Not what someone says about the word of God. Stand on the word. This is why we're not meeting with the Catholic Church down here with a service in Latin. Because people had a problem with that. They were refusing to stand by the word. So they broke off from that and they started their own thing. Where the word of God was the authority for all that we believe. All that we followed, all that we taught was the word of God, not what men wrote and said about the word of God. Amen? Now listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now let's read verse 6 together, church. Verse 6, 1 Timothy 2:6. Ready? Who gave himself a ransom for all. Not for me, only all. To be testified of in due time. Boy, there's lots of things you could strike down with that. Again, I hate to pick on the Catholic Church, but I'll pick on anyone that comes up against the word of God. There is one mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. We have no other mediator according to the word of God. You don't need to go to someone else. We can pray and have access through whom? Romans 5:2. We have access by grace into this faith in which we now stand. Our access to the throne of God is through his son, Jesus Christ. No one else. Why go to someone else? Back on this text. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. There's only one way around this, church. If you refuse to believe God at his word, there's only one way around this, and that is you must change what the word all means. And that's exactly what has happened and what they've tried to do. They say all does not mean all. All means me and everyone that agrees with me. How convenient is that? He gave himself a ransom for all that is me. Are you on my side? Do you believe that? Then it means you. If not, no, not you. No, God hates you. Hate, 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 hate. But he loves me. You don't agree with me? Oh, he hates you. What kind of damnable heresy is that? For God so loves the world. No. World doesn't mean world. World means Jerusalem and Schenectady and Rhode Island. Only if you live right there. World doesn't mean world. World means what I declare world to mean. That's what they believe. Look it up. Go home and look up and read in your computer. You check on those two words, all and world. And the gospel, according to the Presbyterian Church, they don't mean that. All does not mean all, and world does not mean world. Because to make this doctrine fly, you got to change what it means. Jesus Christ is a ransom for all. Even those that don't receive him. Hallelujah. You get it, right? Again, let's see if we got this right. For God so loved the world, but John Calvin and his followers say, God only loves me and everyone that goes to my school or sits under me. Calvin and his followers used to threaten Jacob Arminius and his wife and his family for believing in the free will of man. Who do you choose to believe? To believe this, again, Calvinists have to change what the word world means. And let me show you one right out of their own doctrine and their own books. To help you understand what the word world means, turn with me to John chapter 12. I want to show you exactly what they do to get you to believe this. John chapter 12, verse 17. John chapter 12, verse 17. It says, therefore, the people who were with him, now Jesus had just raised up Lazarus in chapter 11. Therefore, the people who were with him, capital H, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world's gone after him. So they take that and show you see, I showed you, world doesn't mean world. That's the leg that they stand on, that verse there. Some Pharisee saying, look, just like we use that figure of speech, you know? Oh, the whole world's wearing a mask. The whole world's got coronavirus. The whole world's going to take the mark of the beast. So, therefore, world doesn't mean world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That you cannot compare those two. To take one flippant figure of speech and now define what the word world means. So, since world doesn't mean world, surely it doesn't mean world here in this text. So God loves me like Jacob, and you, God hates like Esau. I look at the 7.3 billion people in this world. Do the math. I see there's 1.1 billion Hindus in the world. Hate. Right? He only loves the elect. He hates everyone else. Out of your own mouth, you use the Bible to prove that. 1.1 billion Hindus hate. 1.8 billion Muslims hate. 1.2 billion Catholics. Wait a minute. I just included them in that group? No, I'm not. I take that back. True Christians. The true Christians in the world are in the millions. Those who call on the name of the Lord, those who pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, those that are not idolaters and true Christians, the Bible says no idolater will see and have everlasting life. The true Christians that are in the world are in the millions. There are 7.3 billion people in the world. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not picking on Catholics. There's lots of people that go to a Baptist church that aren't saved, or a Methodist, or a Presbyterian, or a Charismatic, or any old church. Going to a church doesn't make you saved any more than sleeping in your garage makes you a car. It doesn't work that way. I don't want to pick on just anyone. I'm saying out of 7.3 billion, I'm afraid it's the 0.3 that are saved. And the 7 billion aren't. And if that is true, then God hates, like Esau, 98% of the whole world. Do you believe that, Steinbrück? Do you think God hates 98% of the world and just loves you and your family? As Peter calls it, that's damnable heresy. That's damnable heresy. My Bible says God loves the world and everyone in it, even unbelievers. God loves unbelievers. Don't forget that. Now, I hate this doctrine so much. I've had Island Community Church's statement of faith changed. One of the first things I did 8 years ago when I became pastor here, which, of course, had to be voted on amongst the congregation. That's how we do things here. I'm not a dictator. These are the things we changed. This was added to Island's statement of faith. You can read it on islandcommunitychurch.net. These three things. Number one, we believe that forgiveness of sin and the salvation of an individual is available to all. Those close by and those afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call, Acts 2:39. Again, notice the tension there, though. It's available to all, but all whom the Lord will call. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's the tension on this rope here. You got to be called. But you've got to respond, but you can't respond unless that's been given to you from above. Number two, we believe, and here's one I could have had on this list. We believe, this is an Island statement of faith. We believe God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L is how you spell that in case you were wondering, A-L-L. L. We believe God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. I got a Bible in my office. It's done by a Calvinist. And he so disliked this Bible, this verse, that he changed his Bible to read like this. God is not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us would come to repentance. Everyone follow me? He added the words of us to his Bible translation, meaning us, the elect. God's not willing that any of us should perish, but he hates everyone else, all 98% of everyone else. As it is written, Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated. God's not willing that any of us should perish, but all of us would come to repentance. Not everyone else. For it's written, Jacob I've loved, and Esau I've hated. Friend, church, God does not hate unbelievers. God loves unbelievers. So much so that he sent his son down here to die on the cross. God demonstrates his own righteousness. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you on your worst day. Not with your Sunday suit on, but when you were fluttering down here in the mud in sin. God saved you on your worst day, in your worst state, when you were the worst person around. In your ugliness, God saved you. Amen to that, Bill. It's damnable heresy to believe this. That's what it is. Jesus Christ's offer of salvation is available to all the whosoevers out here in the world today. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Next week, we'll look at the last thing here, P, the perseverance of the saints. But I was thinking, you know, this morning, being a Bible translator, maybe I'll come up, I've been thinking of writing a new Bible. This would be the Limited Atonement Bible. See how this one sits with you. Of course, we'd have to rewrite a couple of verses, but there would be rewritten in truth, right? Jacob I've loved and Esau I've hated. I mean, that's the word of God, right? So, let's try these on. John 13:35. Here's Jesus' commands to you. Hate one another as I have hated most of you. Put that on your Facebook page. How about this? 1 John 3:16. By this we know we've passed from death to life, that we hate all the unbelievers. Does that sound biblical to you? Or here's my all-time favorite. It would be Mark 10:17. Jesus and the rich young ruler. He says, Lord, I've done all. What prevents me? Why can't I be saved? What must I do to be saved? So Jesus, remember he's doing something. Jesus then, because remember, he's an unbeliever. He walked away. Romans 9:11, right? He's an unbeliever. Grant us this. So Jesus, he looked at him and he hated him. And said, tough luck, kid. Because Jacob I've loved, but Esau I've hated. You're not going to read that in here, friend. The Bible says Jesus turned at him, he looked at him, and he loved him. That's what the Word of God says. Granted, he walked away an unbeliever, but Jesus loved him right up to the very end. As Jesus on the cross loved each and every one of us right up to the very end. His offer of salvation is available to all. All. Whosoever wills. The tension on the rope is you won't receive him unless it's been given to you. And if you're here and if he's given to you, he says, now, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Make a decision today for Jesus Christ. Stop and receive him today right where you're at, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee he's going to call you and buzz your phone again tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio, and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
We can't control the night or what kind of road we're on or where we will see the light. But right now I'm talking to you, I'm looking into your eyes. Right now I'm trying to show you that we're gonna be alright. Around the bend, all I know is that my love, it knows no end. knows no end.